Mr. Ver, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Ver?
I was born in Bradford District, Bradford Moor District, February 4th, 1923.
And what was the area like that you were born? That you were born into?
It was just it was a cottage. Just born in a two-bedroom cottage. In a normally working class area.
What did your father do?
The father was a bricklayer, stonemason. My mother was a weaver.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I had one brother who was 6 years older than I was. Just one brother, no sisters.
Can you describe your house? Was it a large house?
No, it was just one room, a back kitchen. The house I was born in was a back house, what we called a back house. It was going back to back houses. And this was a back house up a passage, we call a passageway, some call them gimmels. As I say, it was just a rented house that the mother rented, the father rented. It was just a similar house to what most other people lived in at that time. Sound like I'm living in now, actually.
The people in, you know, your neighbours and the area, immediate area, were they supportive? Were they friendly people?
Yes, they were very friendly. It was the people that lived on our street, they were. I can't remember anyone ever removing. The people were there when I was born, and most of them were there when I moved away from there. They just came and went into your house as other relatives, and no edge at all. Just came, knocked door, came in. You did the same there. Everybody knew everyone else, and as you say, supportive, very supportive. If anyone was ill or an old person, they looked after. People perhaps didn't get up so early. People were wondering where they were, and they'd come and knock them up. They weren't left for days like they are now, or weeks. And anyone that died, as you know, in those days, kept in the house. The little chapels of rest. People came. All the neighbours would draw the curtains. There'd always a couple of them come round. All down the street to collect the wreath. So, really speaking, you look back, there were good times. We had nothing, but there were good times.
Was your mother working, after you were born?
Yes, she worked, yes. I had an aunt that lived across the street, and she used to look after me while my mother was working. When I was older, when I got to 10 or so, my mother used to come over at lunch, dinner, as we call it, and then I'd sometimes up by the school, Bradford Moor School, where I worked, what I went to, there was a butcher's shop there, and I used to take a certain day of the week, take a pie dish and drop it in at the butcher's shop on my way to school, and when I came out of school, there'd be a meat and potato pie ready for eating, and take it home. My mother'd come home from work, and we'd sit down, and we'd have a meat and potato pie for our dinner, and then she'd go back, and I'd go back to school, of course, and then she'd go back to work. And she worked at that time. The Saturday morning was a normal part of the working week, and so I'd say from about 10 or 11, I could make a dinner, I could make the Saturday dinner for. And father and mother coming home from work, make some Yorkshire pudding and whatever. You had to do it, really. You had to, a long time to wait if you didn't, for them coming home to make it. So I got quite proficient at making meals.
Had your father served in the First World War?
Yes, my father served in the West Yorkshire, the 6th West Yorkshire Regiment, which I always wanted to be in.
And obviously, he saw action in the First World War.
My father, yes, we went to It was a territorial regiment, so it was actually in before the war. And I don't know, probably 1915 or something like that, when they went abroad. And they were in the 49th Division, 146th Brigade was in. Oh, no, yes. 146th Brigade. And so action on this fashion daily.
Did he speak of it often when he came home?
Only in general. He'd generally speak about it. Naturally, I was always interested, and I used to ask him quite a lot. And he didn't tell me about any specific action, but he mainly spoke about the conditions, the mud and the trenches and all that type of thing. But it didn't go into detail, no.
Was life comfortable for you in the in the family?
Yes, we thought so. We thought so. I suppose it's a matter of degree. We always thought we were a happy family, as most people were on the street. As I say, we you didn't have anything. Your holidays were more or less non-existent as far as going away anywhere. Probably a day, maybe a day at Blackpool, and a week in the boarding house. That was later on, because at that time, of course, your parents didn't. There was no holiday pay. If your father got a week off holiday, it was just a week without any pay. So it was a job to save any money up to go on holiday. So unless they sold the sideboard or the piano or something like that. So consequently, a day at a local Shipley Glen from here on the tram, or as I say, a day at Blackpool perhaps. As I say, later on we did get perhaps a week. You didn't think anything about it because everyone else was all in the same boat. You weren't jealous of anyone else because nobody had any more than you. So we were happy. I suppose it was ignorance is bliss.
Did the hard times of the 20s, mid-20s, did they affect your lives, something in terms of the general strike time?
Well, as I say, I was born in 1923, that was 1926, so I'd be about 3 years old, I can't remember anything about it. So, I should say, no, I can't say that.
As a small child growing up in Bradford, how did you spend your leisure time? Where did you play?
Played on the street, street games. Every night, more or less, you're out playing different games. You weren't going around doing any damage, you were just doing a bit probably noisy and annoyed some of the neighbours by shouting and that sort of thing, but you just played. Well, I don't know what you probably didn't know the same game. We tin can squat. We that was kicking the tin can as far as he could and run sort of thing. And the captain, another game was we called it piggy, but it was just a piece of a broom handle about 6 inches long, sharpened at either end, and you just a stick about a yard long. And you hit one end of it and like nail and spell sort of thing. And knocked it as far as you could, and the opposites, well, maybe four of you played, and you had to guess how many strides it was to where you hit it, and then they had to try and do it in those number of strides, and if they did, of course, they won, or that was that part of the game that they won, but if they didn't, you got the result. But games like that, when I was younger, we even used to skip, even as lads, we were younger, even the girls and the lads together, we'd have a skip rope which stretched the width of the street. Because at that time, of course, there were only horse and carts that came on now and again, the coal man or the milk man, and you know what time they were coming, so people wanted to wash it out across, put a line right across the street with the sheets on it, and we could put a skip rope the width of the street and 9 or 10 of you skipping at the same time. So, you know, there were good just games like that. There was harmless games that, no damage done out there doing these days.
Where did you start school?
I started school at, the Patriot Infants at, can't remember how old, I'm probably 4 years old. It was fairly local. 5-10 minutes walk from where I live. Was at that school until then, what is it? Can't remember what age we left there. A
bit like an infant school, was it?
It was an infant school. Infant school, with 5, 6, 7, probably left at 7 and went to the intermediate school then.
Where was that?
That was Bradford Moor School, which was there again about 10 minutes, 10 minutes walk in Leeds Road, actually, on the Leeds Road. And from there I went to Le Page Street Modern, and was there. I passed my 11 plus, okay. But I didn't go on to further education. I left school at 14. And
what are your school memories?
Well, we used to the main members were at the last school there. Up to be 14. We had a parlour. We used to have a bit of fun at school. We used to write plays and put them on the stage at school, and sort of brought the teachers and masters' names into one in particular. It was some silly play and all like that. It's fatal cigar, poisonous cigar. You handed them out the paper and you killed them. This particular master, Colin Ramsden, he was a PT master. He was very careful, really much, a bit handy with a cane. And we sort of brought his name into it, so not saying that, oh, Colonel Ramsden, we put it down as. Said, oh, got it. Most people would like to see him out of the way. He'd be the next one, sort of thing. He didn't care for it very much and kept us in for a few days after school. We had a dramatic society, which I was in that, in pantomime, Aladdin. I was Almanazar in it, the wicked uncle.
Did you think, was it a good education, in your opinion?
Well, I think so. Well, in the basics especially. I mean, you can still remember your time service, and still in these days, it's to struggle to, if you say what, 7-7-5, to work it out, really. With learning your timetable, it comes straight to you, doesn't it? So I consider it a good education for the type of school that we're at, yes. As I say, they were quite a lot past the 11th grade, so they were really able to go to grammar school. So I suppose it was a successful school.
We were basically working class area,
yes.
And the working class children. Were there families who finding it really tough, children coming to school without shoes or boots or this kind of thing?
You got some, not particularly on our street, I can't remember. There were certainly some that, you call them destitute these days, you call them poor, but it was a matter of degree. If everybody's poor on the street and one's very poor, well, nowadays you'd say they were absolutely destitute, but in those days you were just a little bit poorer than the others. Probably had a larger family and more of a struggle, but it didn't seem to bother people that much. You know, I'm not meaning to say that the people that were a little bit better off didn't bother about the ones that were worse. What that says, the people that were considered a bit worse, it didn't seem to just be happy, put it that way. They'd struggle, but the children probably were a bit plenty of patches on the trousers and that sort of thing. But they didn't seem to have suffered by it, put it that way. I mean, I know some of them, I don't know them now, but they did a few years ago, and they've just made out it's really having a mess. So it hasn't affected them that way.
You say you left school at 14, and you had passed the 11 plus, which would have got you to the grammar school. Why did you leave at 14?
Well, it was my own. I always blame my parents, but they were too indulgent with me, really. That I wanted to leave school, and if I'd have said I wanted to go to grammar school, it would have been okay. But I wanted to leave school and start work, and they allowed me to do it. And I always wish they hadn't done, but they did. And I left and went to work in the mill.
Before we come to your working life, did the church play a part in your family life?
Well,
or chapel?
I used to go to chapel. I used to go, my parents didn't go that much. I used to go to Sunday school, to Baptist. We were at the Church of England. I think I was christened at Holy Trinity Church. I went to various chapels, Baptist, Methodist. It was just church to us. It didn't mean anything really. Why I'm saying I went to various, because I joined the Boys Brigade, and depending on which company you were in, you were in a particular chapel, you see. So it played a part in that respect. But as far as my parents, they didn't attend every Sunday at church, but I used to go to Sunday school.
The Boys Brigade, what uniform were you given?
It was just a pillbox hat, a white haversack and a belt. That was it.
Did you have to buy that yourselves? Your family had to buy it?
I can't remember, I'm afraid. You can't remember. I think probably you did. I think probably you did. But I can't say certain.
How long were you in the Boys Brigade?
Oh, I was in a number of years. I was in the band, bugle, played the bugle, played the drums. I was in two different companies, the 8th and the 16th. That were in two different chapels. This local one is 21st Company, Queensbury one, is still on the go. We used to have church prayers, march around our own streets, around the area. Everybody used to come out and watch you going past. Then we'd have a battalion parade every now and again. The whole Bradford battalion, all the companies had one big parade. All the bands had one big band. And then we'd march through Bradford and finish up at one particular church. Then next time we'd be a different one. As I said, I was in two different companies, so I was in a few number of years.
The drills, were they military-style drills?
Yes, the drill was, yes. You didn't do that much drilling. You did a certain amount of drill, and it was like more or less like army drill. You used to do just camps, an annual camp.
What would you do at a camp?
Well, it was inspections, sports, that sort of thing. Then you just served quite a lot of time to yourself, like maybe at Morecambe or Wimbledon. It was at Sea and Harbour, with a camp mask, Morecambe. And you've got quite a bit of time on your own. It was more or less a holiday, in a way. But you'd to lay your kit out and inspect your tents and all that sort of thing. And you do, I say, do games, sports, that sort of thing. That's the way it goes.
What kit would you have you to lay out? To lay out, what did you have?
Well,
other than the uniform, obviously.
You only had your uniform, and it was mainly your blankets, seeing that your bed was your blanket was folded up, tidy, and you could have a sheet of useless, not have bell tents, I think. The old bell, army bell tents that we used to wear. And you'd more or less have to all lay blankets out in line, folded up and that sort of thing. That was That was about it, because she had no other kids. That would be giving back and talking. That's all.
The officers, or the senior men, were they ex-army?
No, I don't think so. I didn't. No, they weren't really. No, most of them were fairly young. Fairly young when I was 10, I suppose I could have still been ex-army. But I don't think any of them were. I don't remember ever seeing any with medals on. Some of them were, like I say, maybe my brother, who was 6 years older than I was. Some of them were very senior, I suppose, like the battalion commander, that he would be one of the older titles. But most of the company officers were, they were just like probably chapel men that took an interest in running the company.
If you were in a number of years, you must have been able to cope with the discipline okay.
Yes, yes. The discipline wasn't strict, really. As I said, you do drill, which of course is discipline in itself, isn't it, a certain amount. But it wasn't too bad, really. I wouldn't call it strict discipline. Probably a bit more than Boy Scouts, but, you know.
What would you say you got out of being in the Boys' Brigade?
Well, it was more like a boys' club, you could say. I mean, if all the young lads these days went to the Boys' Brigade, they ought to seek the starter. And it was an interest. Your parents all took an interest in it. Insofar as they like to see you come on parade, as I say, on a Sunday morning, and the whole street, when you used to hear the band, the bugles, everybody used to come out. It sounds silly, doesn't it? But nowadays nobody could care less, I suppose. But everybody used to turn out, because most of the lads on the street were in the same company, so all the parents were there to watch them, you know. So it was.
Did it teach a pride in yourself, you know, your own turnout, and in the unit itself?
Oh yes, you did. Yeah, you used to have to keep your haversack. That's the only part of the uniform really that was white. You had that sort of stood white, and it was always kept folded. It was sort of folded with a button on. It was just like the only time you ever unfolded it was at camp, when you used it for haversack rations if you went anywhere. But apart from that, it was just a shawl, like a cross. Across about sort of thing. In fact, when we got to be a warrant officer, which I didn't have brother here, he didn't even have the haversack, he just had a leather sort of crossbow with the badger and a forage cap. So the haversack didn't fully at camp, he ever used it as a haversack. Otherwise, it was just part of the dress.
So people at the time didn't look upon it as a kind of a military type unit, teaching you to be in first steps towards being soldiers.
No.
Wasn't looked at in that way.
No, just looked after the boys, somewhere for lads to go. No, it wasn't looked upon anything like a military type.
You say you left school at 14 and you started to work in the mill. Where was that?
Why or where?
Where?
That was in Bradford again. There again, about 10 minutes walk from home. You start at 6:30 morning.
Was this a job you wanted particularly at the mill, or was it just that was the job that was available?
It was just a job, and I could have done a lot better, but it was just a job where everybody looked, I don't know, but most folk, lads looked forward to starting work, getting their overalls. I don't know why, but we're proud of having a pair of overalls. Bills. Used to get a smock and the overalls with the middle brace overalls, and you thought you were somebody special. Most of the lads all worked well, it started the same little roundabout. And I would say you started at 6:30 till 8:00 when you'd breakfast. Good enough canteen or anything.
Which you took with you?
You took it with you. you had a pint pot which you kept at work, and somebody would go down and mash the teas. You take your own kids showed it. And they'd bring it, Master Chase, you need to go and do it yourself. And we did it and brought it back. Otherwise, you'd have stopped. Your horse stopped work too early. And then you, after breakfast, you just carried on then for lunch. And I finished about 5 o'clock, so quite a long day. Saturday, of course, was a normal part of the week.
And what was your first job?
It was what they call a bobbin ligger. And that was it was in the spinning department. And the empty bobbins in which the wool was rolled onto, across the, on the end of the spinning frame, on the top of the spinning frame, there's sort of a rack with pins in. And each one of those pins was above the flyer, the spin where the wool came out of this one. So you put the empty bob, you just fill those racks up with empty bobbins. So that when they, once those bobbins, once that they run, the bobbins that were in existence were filled, then another lad would come round and told him to take it off. And he would take these full bobbins up and put one of the empty ones in its place. And then those were checked up to another department. In the meantime, we had to go up to that other department because those bobbins that were been spun were taken up to another department, I think it was called the creeling. And then they run off those bobbins up to something else. When those bobbins were empty, we had to go up to that department and it's like a tub which you go around your neck on a strap made of hide, and you fill that with your bobbins, drop them down, and that was the routine.
Was it arduous work?
Not really. It was, you're up and down steps in the mill, stone steps, like all mills, various floors. So you run up to one department to get your bobbin and down. The overlookers were a bit strict with you. You're slacking or not giving you a clout.
So they would hit you if
they were looking, yeah.
And that was accepted?
It was an extent. I don't mean to say I didn't beat you up or anything like that, but
give you a clap.
If you got a clap, if you beat you, that's it. As I say there again, I don't mean, you work back in the head or the game was accepted.
Was it healthy work, or what was the conditions like in the mill?
Well, it was very, it got warm, it was warm in the summer. I would call it healthy, really. There was a lot of grease and oil about on the floor because from the machines, they were all oiled regularly. And over the years, over 100 years that they've been doing it on the go, the floorboards were gradually soaked in oil, grease, there's fluff everywhere, fluff in the air and stuck to everything. Which that Saturday morning was the time that for cleaning it all down. That was part of the job on a Saturday. The machines didn't end, but you turn it and everything had to be cleaned, all the machines had to be cleaned and floor swept and then it was tidy up.
Some people's health must have suffered then with this fluff in the air.
I should say so, over the years. I didn't stop on it that long. I left there and went to another mill.
What was your first pay?
I think it was 19 shillings. That was for about 48, I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah. On a Saturday, you said you worked on a Saturday. Was that just a half day?
Half day.
And Sunday, of course, was off.
Yeah.
Was it dangerous occupation with machines and things flying around?
Well, to keep your fingers out of the way. There were two types of spinning. There was trap spinning and fly spinning. Well, trap spinning, which when the bobbin, there's a sort of a trap coming over it, and the thread comes from what they call a roving, which is a big bobbin with thicker wool. You see, it's bringing it down to a narrower stamp. but the flyer, what they call the fly spinning, that had a steel like a horseshoe-shaped flyer. Now that pulled down, and the moon was straight through that. At that time, spun round it, we put it up the spoon. But if you got your, if you get a messy knock on your knuckles with that here, but I don't believe in like with the women or the girls that were operating the machines that are likely to not back on the knuckles.